Adventures in Research. Once upon a time, there was a barrel of cabbages, which turned out to be worth several million dollars. Sound like a tall story? Not at all. It really happened. And all because that barrel of cabbages was frozen solid. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today, telling you about the million-dollar cabbages. Rarely does a man's name become a household word in his lifetime. Occasionally it happens and a man finds his name uncapitalized and added to the dictionary as... Well, for example, with words like gerrymander, boycott, and quisling. In such cases, the meaning is usually unpleasant. But here in the United States is one bright-eyed, inquisitive man who finds his name a pleasant household word at grocery stores and on refrigerator shelves. Yes, there is a man named Birdseye, a man who had a $1 million barrel of cabbages. More than that, he has been granted some 200 patents, ranging from an improved reflector lamp for offices and shop windows to a kickless harpoon gun for hunting whales. It was this man's signature, Clarence Birdseye, on the letter that caused some consternation in a certain fur trading office in 1919.
Birdseye. Huh. William, you ever hear of Birdseye?
Eh? Birdseye? You mean Bullseye, that...
No, I mean Birdseye. Clarence Birdseye. He's a man, a trapper to be exact. He sent a letter here.
Another trapper that's been put out of business and wants some help from us, I suppose. Hang it, Sam. They know what the market is today, or rather what the market isn't. Prices on furs took a tumble after the war.
Well, now, this chap isn't crying the blues. He's optimistic. In fact, I'd say he's more than optimistic. He thinks that prices will go back up. Says it's just a temporary decline.
Temporary decline fiddlesticks. Sam, we've been in the fur business for over 20 years. We know more about it than some upstart in the North Woods who wonders how he's going to make ends meet and starts whistling past the graveyard. Now, just write this bullseye.
Birdseye.
Well, whatever it is. And tell him that at present market values, we are not in the least bit interested in importing any furs.
Now, hold on a minute, William. This fella seems to have something. His letter just brims over with enthusiasm. He wants someone to gamble $8,000 cash on his idea.
$8,000? Here, give me that.
William, what are you doing tearing up that paper?
Exactly. Well, I think if you'd have read it once more, you might have sent him the $8,000. $8,000 down the drain.
But
I tell you, even if you are my brother, you're also my business partner, and I won't stand for it.
But that wasn't the last of the subject of Clarence Birdseye.
Miss Harrison, 1 minute of your time, please.
Yes, Mr. Watkins.
You notice anything odd about my brother recently? Anything suspicious?
No, Mr. Watkins.
Well, he's up to something, mark my words. Whenever he gets that gleam in his eye, I always want to check the bank balance.
Anything else, Mr. Watkins?
No, that'll be all. Oh, yes, there is something else. Ever hear of a Mr. Bullseye? No, that's not it. Birdseye.
Birdseye, sir?
Yes, I have a sneaking suspicion he may be the answer. Dig me up what information you can on him, will you? He's a trapper. Clarence Birdseye. That's the fellow.
Yes, Mr. Watkins. That shouldn't be any trouble. Your brother made the same inquiry of me a week ago.
What they discovered about Clarence Birdseye was most illuminating indeed.
It says here he started out as a youngster, earned enough money for a shotgun by trapping muskrats on Long Island and selling them to a scientist at the Bronx Zoo. He earned his way through college by trapping black rats and frogs.
I see he joined the Biological Survey in New Mexico and was a laboratory technician and field worker in Montana.
Yeah, studying Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Then in northern Michigan, he installed and covered on foot a 75-mile trap line for timber wolves.
Yes, I know. Seems he also was in Labrador with Sir Wilfred Grenfell seeking silver fox breeders. Yeah. Stayed up there as a fur trader. That's quite an impressive record, I'd say.
Oh, William, there's no doubt about it. This fella's got it. And if he has faith in the future of furs, what have we got to lose?
Well, only $8,000, but after all, what's $8,000? I've said that all along. Oh, Miss Harrison, take a letter to Mr. Birdseye and tell him, well, that we've decided to go along with his proposition.
So Clarence Birdseye was in business, and the venture proved profitable. Within a year, he had cleared more than $6,000. He then moved into a log cabin in Labrador and began traveling through the isolated primitive land buying furs.
Well, Birdseye, you're a sight for sore eyes.
Howdy, Ferret. Say, really blowing out there. Hey, you're looking good.
No complaints. Might say the same for you. Guess this on-the-go life agrees with you. Now, me, I just set it out in the store here, just a stationary storekeeper.
Oh, you're more than that, Barrett. You're the eyes and ears of the whole area. Tell me, how's trapping? Have the boys gotten some good skins since I've been through?
Oh, shucks, Birdseye, I guess so, the way they tell it. Say, I reckon you want to stock up with some provisions. Man needs victuals to last him when he starts hightailing it out along here. Ain't no grocery store in every corner, like back in the States, eh?
I got a list all made up for you, Barrett. I'll make the rounds, see what furs the boys have, and then stop by here again the end of the week and pick it all up.
Dandy, fine and dandy.
I don't know, though, as I really ought to buy anything from you, Barrett.
Huh?
I've been doing some experimenting on food myself since I saw you last. Tried out some whale meat.
Eating whale meat? You're joshing me.
No, it's truth. If the whale's young enough, it's delicious. You know, with your prices, you old skinflint, it's a good thing to know what's edible and what isn't. Ever try starlings? Sparrows?
To eat? Well, I can't rightly say as I have.
Real good, if they're fixed right.
You don't have nothing like that on your order here, I hope. I ain't stocking no sparrows or no whales.
No, I haven't put them on the list.
So long as the list don't... wait a minute. Just looking it over, though, I don't know about this item, Birdseye. 2 dozen cabbages.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I can't sell a puny little bunch like that. If you want cabbages, I'll have to sell you a whole barrel.
Well...
That's the way they come packed, and I couldn't repack them so you could tote them any distance.
Well, then, I guess a barrel of cabbages it'll have to be. I don't know what I'm going to do with a whole barrel, though. That's a powerful lot of cabbage, Barrett. A powerful lot of cabbage.
So Clarence Birdseye bought his furs, shipped them to the States, picked up his provisions for the winter, and returned to his isolated cabin, soon to hit upon his great million-dollar idea.
Yes, sirree, hon. We got enough provisions to last us clear through the winter. And it looks like it's going to be a humdinger.
Temperature is 40 below outside, according to the window thermometer.
Well, if you get on at making supper, I'll sit here.
I'll tell you what you can do. There's enough food stacked around here to feed a regiment. You'll have to do something about all that cabbage.
Well...
A whole barrel. Honestly, Clarence, we can't keep a barrel of cabbage around the house.
Okay, I'll take it outside.
With the temperature 40 below, it'll freeze.
Well, sure it will. But I've been thinking... You know when we bought that caribou meat last year? It was frozen stone hard, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Well, I recall saying to you that it tasted real good. Well, here it is, 40 below. Maybe I could freeze that cabbage so we could chop it out when we needed it. That way we'd have cabbage. Now, that ought to be enough seawater in the bottom of the barrel. Now, I'll pack a layer of cabbages into it and let that layer freeze. And some more water. And another layer of cabbages. Yeah, that ought to keep them all right. And any time we want cabbage, we can just chop out a layer with an axe.
And that, although Clarence Birdseye didn't know it at the time, marked the real beginning of quick frozen foods. Birdseye ate his cabbages, found them delicious, and thought no more about it. He went into the business of wholesaling fish and bumped into another problem.
Well, here's the trouble, Mr. Birdseye. These containers for shipping the chilled fish just don't stand up under shipment. Now, when we get to shipping them, why, the fish arrives spoiled.
Yes, I know. Reminds me of a time up in Labrador where I... Say, that trick with the cabbages. Now, why wouldn't that work?
Packing the fish with cabbages, Mr. Birdseye?
Tell you what, see if we can borrow a corner of the ice cream plant and we'll give it a try.
Fish, cabbages, and now ice cream. Mr. Birdseye, would you give me the afternoon off? Things around here are getting too complicated for me.
Clarence Birdseye began experimenting, quick freezing and slow freezing identical samples of food and observing the difference. In 1924, he put quick frozen fish on the market, rapidly exhausted his capital, and went broke. Not stopped, he sold his life insurance, organized a new company, developed an automatic freezer, and thus started the frozen food business, an industry that now packs about 4 billion pounds of frozen foods a year.
I won't take any credit for being the discoverer of quick frozen foods. The Eskimos knew the trick for centuries. And there were a good many European scientists who had some theories about quick freezing. All I did was take the Eskimos' experience, along with the scientists' theories, and put it into quantity production.
Today, over 1,400 companies package about 475 different kinds of quick frozen foods. In doing so, they've added dozens of new glamorous foods to your grocer stocks, laid the basis for the frozen food locker industry, brought on home freezers and freezer chest refrigerators, and put the lie to Grandma's time-honored phrase that expressed sheer impossibility.
Why, that's as impossible as having fresh strawberries in January.
Yes, there's been quite a revolution in the buying and preparing of the three meals a day for millions of modern families. And whether it's frozen orange juice or French fries, shrimp or good old lima beans, back of them all stands a barrel of frozen cabbages and another far-reaching adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.